All right, the Republican coalition is falling apart, and Trump is facing even more defections from his own party on key issues such as the Epstein files, tariffs are pissing off a lot of Republicans, and even Ukraine. I want to walk through a few issues in this video that is causing Trump to become increasingly unpopular among his own party. Look at Representative Thomas Massie explaining just this morning how Donald Trump has been essentially attacking, threatening, and trying to silence him over the Epstein files.
Responsibility.
And just very quickly, if you will, you've supported most of what Donald Trump has done during his presidency. But because of your actions with these files, he is supporting your primary opponent and has waged very personal attacks on you. I know we just have a few seconds here, but just your reaction to that.
Look, this is about the Epstein class, the people who are funding the attacks against me. They may or may not be implicated in these files, but they were certainly rubbing shoulders with the people who are in these files. They're billionaires who are friends with these people, and that's what I'm up against in Washington, D.C. Donald Trump told us that even though, you know, he had dinner with these kinds of people in New York City and West Palm Beach, that he would be transparent, but he's not. He's still in with the Epstein class. This is the Epstein administration, and they're attacking me for trying to get these files released. And
the Epstein administration, very well said. It's really worth pointing out that politicians have been captured by dark money interest groups for years and years, but this is one of the most insidious manifestations of it. These dark money interest groups before were like, hey, don't you talk bad about coal. Don't you talk bad about this. But now the dark money interest groups are trying to pay politicians off to hide the files that implicate the richest of the rich, the most powerful men, people who allegedly were part of Jeffrey Epstein's sex trafficking scheme, his ring. It's worth pointing out that Thomas Massie also had to write a whole Twitter thread about how he's not suicidal. So somebody responded to a thread he wrote and said, honestly, I'm surprised they haven't kicked you out yet regarding Congress and the Republican Party. You need to keep reminding the public each and every day that you're not suicidal and you're a great swimmer. And Thomas Massie then responded from his own government account, I am not suicidal. I eat healthy food. The brakes on my car and truck are in good shape. I practice good trigger discipline and never point a gun at anyone, including myself. There are no deep pools of water on my farm, and I am a pretty good swimmer. He's essentially, quote unquote, suicide-proofing himself as the administration continues to attack him. Here's Marjorie Taylor Greene saying something similar about the Epstein class.
That fight to release the Epstein files came directly from President Trump. And I know a lot of people have a hard time with that, but that is the truth. He fought the hardest to stop these files from being released.
This is a very, very important point. Every time I go on these CNN debates or I debate MAGA, they always do this gotcha question where they're like, oh yeah, well, who ended up releasing the files? Who released the most files ever? It was Trump. Why didn't Biden release any? First of all, under Biden, Ghislaine Maxwell was still appealing her case. So a lot of the evidence was locked up. And if it would have been released, then Ghislaine Maxwell would have been more likely to win her appeal and a sex trafficker would have walked. But the second part of that is Donald Trump didn't release the files. Donald Trump had to have it pried out of his jaws after Thomas Massie, Ro Khanna, and a few other politicians forced a discharge petition on the House floor. The discharge petition is a way to subvert Donald Trump and subvert Speaker of the House Mike Johnson. And now he is still calling for the DOJ to move on. Watch this clip of him yesterday saying the DOJ should just say we have other things. They should just move on. By the way, make sure you drop a like and subscribe to the Adam Mockler feed and watch until the end because we have a lot more news to cover.
And no, he made a statement about me and Jeffrey Epstein. I have nothing to do with that. I have nothing to do with Jeffrey Epstein. And in fact, if you look at the DOJ, they announced, they released 3 million pages. It's like this is all they're supposed to be doing. And frankly, the DOJ, I think, should just say, we have other things to do, because that whole thing has turned out. I mean, other than Bill Clinton and, you know, Bill Gates and lots of people that have, there are a lot of questions about it, but nothing on me. But it was
ain't no way. He's sitting there listing a few names that were in the files, but ignoring the fact that he was listed more than all of those names combined.
Even sort of better than that, because they found that Jeffrey Epstein and this sleazebag writer named Michael Wolff were conspiring against Donald Trump to lose the election.
That's not exactly what happened. You're missing half of it. They were talking about how they had enough leverage over Donald Trump, with nasty things that have happened to essentially ruin his political career, and talking about how Epstein could leverage that to get out of prison. And I guess he did get out of prison under Trump, but just in a different way.
So Epstein was conspiring with a writer for me to lose the election. So right there, you know that I had nothing to do with this guy. But
nothing to do with this guy? Nothing? The deranged ramblings of somebody who definitely had everything to do with Jeffrey Epstein allowed Jeffrey Epstein to traffic girls out of his Palm Beach Mar-a-Lago for years, and now is saying that he has nothing to do with him. Now is saying the DOJ has other things to do. I think it's also worth playing this clip of Representative Garcia.
Who was involved in the trafficking of girls and women? It wasn't just Ghislaine Maxwell. Why were there so many women being attacked in places across the country, whether it was New York, but also Palm Beach? You look at Mar-a-Lago. Why was Mar-a-Lago a location where women continued to be trafficked from?
Exactly.
So these are questions that we need to ask. Questions for President Trump. And the broader issue here is, why wasn't this investigated when these accusations and these stories actually were heard by the FBI years ago? Where was the investigation? Where was the DOJ? And this, by the way, is an issue not just in Republican administrations,
right,
but also ones led by Democrats.
No, this is a very, very good point. This has been ignored by administration after administration, not even by administration, just by judges, by state judges, by local courts in Florida and other places. We've had plea deals with Epstein and women being ignored, and it just speaks to a lot of the power structures that exist when rich, powerful men can quite literally abuse people, and if said people aren't in a position of power, or if you're a woman who isn't well off or not wealthy, you're just not listened to by authorities who are oftentimes powerful men as well. So it's uniquely bad in the Trump administration due to the cover-up being done by Pam Bondi, Todd Blanche, Donald Trump, Kash Patel. This is a uniquely bad situation. But a lot of other people aren't off the hook quite yet. Speaking of Pam Bondi, she's trying to bury the Epstein files for good. Again, she submitted a list of politically exposed persons in the Epstein files, and half of the names were like effing dead. Some of the names in this Epstein list that she released were like Marilyn Monroe and other names that made zero sense whatsoever. Rather than focusing in on Donald Trump, Steve Bannon, and Les Wexner, Donald Trump also on Valentine's Day yesterday sent a fundraising email where he invoked the name of somebody who was accusing him of sexual assault. Her name is E. Jean Carroll, and he said, "I sent you a love letter, but I haven't heard back. It's Valentine's Day, E. Jean. This is just crazy. A love letter from secret admirer Donald Trump begging forgiveness was sent to a woman who the president was found sexually liable of assault." Just sickening, sickening stuff. I want to move over to what's going on in Munich. Right now, Governor Gavin Newsom is in Munich, Germany, and he's forcefully talking about how the Trump administration is dropping the ball on Russia. This seems like it's not related to Epstein, but it is. We have a pro-Russia, pro-pedophile president who is quite literally ruining what it means to be an American, and it's nice to see some counter-programming on the global stage. I talked about Governor Newsom in my last video, and man, there were lots and lots of comments of people saying they really dislike Governor Newsom. They hate him. They think that he's the exact same as a Republican. And I was surprised to see that, because I understand people dislike Governor Newsom, but in no reality is he worse than J.D. Vance or even the same as J.D. Vance. He is going out there with moral clarity and spreading a pro-Ukraine, pro-democracy message. He likes human dignity. He supports human dignity. I'm sorry, but I'm going to go for the guy that likes human dignity 10 out of 10 times over the people who don't, like J.D. Vance. The guy who has moral clarity about Alex Pretty and Ukraine and climate change and all of this is Governor Newsom, not J.D. Vance.
Thank you for acknowledging our National Guard, the same National Guard that were federalized and weaponized by the Trump administration. They're training the Ukrainians before the war and continue to advise. We're very proud. We've sent 7 field hospitals to Ukraine. We have one of the largest nonprofits in the world, Direct Relief, that sent over $2.2 billion of supplies, medical supplies, to Ukraine. And the MOU we signed today is all about the rebuild. But it's not about the version that Donald Trump is advancing. And again, forgive me. I know I could come off a little aggressively, but I don't. I can back up what I'm saying. I want to remind you, just in terms of the self-dealing, part of the peace plan the president was pursuing with Jared Kushner and Witkoff and the head of the Sovereign Wealth Fund and Russia was around the rebuild and who gets their piece of that rebuild. That's, again, not the America I grew up in. So we want peace. We want the right deal, but we don't want a piece of Ukraine.
This is honestly worth voting for Gavin Newsom over any Republican just because of his policy here. Jay in Kyiv says, in awe of Zelensky today in Munich, Gavin Newsom makes it clear that he would cancel all of the bullshit, large-scale looting that Trump is trying to inflict on the people of Ukraine. Better yet, he would cancel the looting while still providing aid to Ukraine. Imagine a reality. It would be amazing.
That's what distinguishes at least our belief system and our approach from the current administration. I thought it was one of his strongest speeches today. I thought it was outstanding. And what a case he made, and what a point of pride to have his back and to be back. And I will just end on, just because you painted a human face. I don't know if any of you have been to the Ukraine house, and you walk in and there's this beautiful...
I want to show you this clip of Hillary Clinton also talking about Ukraine.
I think that the Trump administration's position toward Ukraine is disgraceful. I think the effort to force Ukraine into a surrender deal with Putin is shameful. I think the effort that Putin and Trump are making to profit off the misery and death of the Ukrainian people is a historic error.
I know a lot of people in my comment section are rolling their eyes saying, Adam, why is it important what Hillary Clinton and Governor Newsom say? What you're actually asking is, Adam, why is it important that there is a pro-democracy counter message on the world stage to all of the BS that J.D. Vance, Donald Trump, Stephen Miller, whoever is speaking on our behalf, Scott Bessent sometimes speaks on the Trump administration's behalf on the global stage. Scott Bessent was in Davos, for example. The point is, we have all of these MAGA people representing us on the world stage, but they don't actually represent us. Like, not my ideals. I'm pro-Ukraine. I'm pro-democracy. I want free and fair elections. So seeing people out there saying, hey, let's stop the looting and corruption and restore human dignity. If you asked Governor Newsom or Hillary Clinton about ICE, they would both say that Trump's ICE is an absolute disaster. It's a mess. Hillary Clinton does think that borders need to exist and be secure, but that's what most Americans believe.
And corrupt to the nth degree. And so I believe Ukraine is fighting for our democracy and our values of freedom and civilization.
Yep.
On the front lines, losing thousands of people and having their country destroyed by one man's mania to control them.
That's Putin.
And I think Trump either doesn't understand or could care less about that suffering. So that's what I think.
And so do you think he has destroyed the West, to go to our title?
He has betrayed the West. He's betrayed human values. He's betrayed the NATO Charter, the Atlantic Charter, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights.
Yep.
A lot of what has been done before to try to make sense of how difficult it is to restrain people who want unaccountable power. And
thank you. We are going to restore a globe and an America with better ideals. And here's what's going to happen. I mean, I think that Hillary Clinton is outdated in the Democratic Party. She doesn't have as much sway. People like AOC, people like Governor Newsom, and people like me and you have power in the Democratic Party. We'll continue to push forward. Subscribe, drop a like below. I'll see you in the next one. Peace out.